This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Deja Kelly of North Carolina will join us coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Miami rolled last night. Mm-hmm. Canes early and often, right?
Yeah, it was 14-2 to start things off, and then it really went downhill for Pitt.
Canes led by as many as 30 at one point.
30.
Won comfortably last night, 85-64, by the way. And just so you know, that makes home team 70-54 in ACC play. We're hovering right around that 52-53% mark. McGusty impressive last night. So there you go.
Well, 20 turnovers forced by that Miami defense. They've been doing it all season long. Those 20 turnovers turned into 30 points.
Yep.
And, man, this was an easy, easy win for Miami. No hiccups. They know what they've got to do. Thought they got a shot to run the table here. It sets up a really big game for them on Saturday when Virginia Tech comes to town. Hokies tonight take on Georgia Tech in Atlanta. But Miami's, those guards, Wes, they're old, they're tough, they're experienced, and they can really play. And what a year for Jim Larrañaga. He's had a tremendous year, and good for him.
Tired Bruce Hale last night as the winningest coach in Miami history. Of course, Coach Hale had Rick Barry before the program was discontinued in the late 60s. And you see on the screen, Miami's won 20 or more in 7 of 11 seasons during Jim Larrañaga's tenure in Coral Gables, not to mention the job he did at Bowling Green, the job he did at George Mason. His coaching journey is fascinating, and he deserves all the flowers, as they say, because he does a terrific job and has built a steady program here. You see the four teams that have advanced to the NCAA tournament, and I think you're going to be able to call it 5 here in a couple weeks.
I think you're probably right on that front. Miami with the win now 12-5 in the ACC, tied with North Carolina in the third spot, if you will. But, of course, they get the tiebreaker because they wore the heels out when they saw them. Still a lot of work to be done for all parties moving forward. Just because you win last night or you win this upcoming night, doesn't mean the season ends. There's a lot of teams still needing a bunch of W's.
Yeah, Miami has one home game left. That's Saturday against Virginia Tech. They're on the road to close the regular season at BC and at Syracuse. And here is BPI.
Boy, poor Miami, 12-5 in the league and an underdog at home, according to BPI, against Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
KJ Bellis.
Joe Lunardi's got him as a 10 seed. 10. I wouldn't want to see this crowd. If I'm a 7, I don't want any part of them.
Well, I would say this. When we start getting really more into what are you seated, you don't want to be 8 or 9, right? I would rather be a 10 than a 9.
Oh, yeah. No question. But, I mean, but as a 10, I don't want to see. If I'm a 7 – and I'm going to the tournament and think I've had a nice year, and I draw them as a 10?
Yeah, but my point is, really, to be honest with you, this year in college hoops reminds me, I've said this 100 times on radio, this year in college basketball reminds me so much of the college football season that we just had.
Okay.
Miami is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Six-year guys, old dudes who can play, changes the entire landscape.
Yeah.
Transfer portal. Changes the landscape. Teams can get good literally overnight.
Right.
You know, just because you got a number beside your name, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
We see these teams lose left and right. Now, granted, we had a lot of chalk last night, with the exception of obviously UConn and Villanova, because they both ranked. All the ranked teams beat unranked teams last night. But that's almost been the exception to the rule in college hoops. So whether you're a 10 or a 7 or 6 or 11, I think it's a microcosm. It's a tiny line between the difference between a 5 and a 12. I think this year in college hoops.
Let's get you caught up on standings here real quick, and then we're going to dive into Duke and Virginia, because the Blue Devils still have the top of the heap. They're 13-3 with 4 to play. Notre Dame is at 12-4. And then kind of the jam, the 5s and the 6s. Now, here's today's innocuous statement about Brooklyn. Are we down to 4 for 2 spots? Yes. In my mind, we're down to 4 schools for 2 spots behind Duke and Notre Dame in terms of the double bye at the ACC tournament. Carolina loses the head-to-head with everybody not named Virginia at this point.
Well, you could add one more if Syracuse goes ballistic this week and wins at Notre Dame and beats Duke at home and then wins at North Carolina. You throw them into the mix. But, you know, I've been saying it for about a month, Wes. You know, the left side and the right side. Very big difference. But I think you can draw the line right underneath Virginia. And Syracuse can prove their point by winning their next three here because this is their time. If they're going to make a move, they played really well to get to this point, winning 6 of 7. But that road trip to Notre Dame tonight, huge game. Duke at home this weekend with Boeheim and Krzyzewski for the last go-around with over 30,000 plus probably. Mm-hmm. And then a quick turnaround and having to go to North Carolina. And the Heels have been really, really good for the most part in Chapel Hill. Yeah. It's a tough stretch for Syracuse.
Well, and to your point, since the ACC went to the 14-game format in 2014, only one time has a team from the right side gotten a team from the left side. Essentially has a team off the Tuesday bracket gotten ahead of a team that plays with the double bye. And that was when NC State beat Syracuse in 2014, the first year of the expanded bracket. That's been it.
And I think this year, too, given how competitive the games have been within the league, forget about where everybody fits nationally, but within the league, the games have been so competitive. To get that double bye is humongous. It's one additional day. You're off your feet with no pressure. Let somebody else go try to figure out win another game. And then you'll take your chances on Thursday and Friday.
All right, 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Off to Charlottesville, Dan Shulman, Jay Billis, Andrea Carter will be there for you for coverage of Duke and Virginia for a second time. You know how the first one went a couple of weeks ago when Reese Beekman hit the game winner. Virginia won 69-68 at Cameron. Jay said this earlier when he joined us at the 8 o'clock hour. Virginia that night ran their offense with a lot of efficiency. They were very crisp. Tonight, I'm going to be shocked if Duke doesn't force them defensively to start the offense at the midcourt line. This feels like one of those games where Duke's going to get in their business defensively and push Virginia out. Now, all the mover blocker stuff that Virginia does Duke have an alleyway there to pressure? We'll see. It will be incumbent upon how the home team shoots the ball tonight, Mark.
No doubt. And every time we talk about Virginia basketball, despite all the success that Tony Bennett's had in his past, this team from time to time will give you that 5, 6, 7 minutes where they just don't make a shot. Yeah. And you can't do that against Duke. Mm-hmm. I'm just sorry. I mean, you might be able to pull that off against roast beef A&M, but not against Duke. You know, so Virginia's got to have 40 minutes tonight where they're efficient, take care of the basketball. You know, they did a great job spreading Duke out at Cameron with the cuts and so forth, and they, of course, made the big shot at the end to win. But for the Blue Devils, as I mentioned to Jay Billis, I still think they've got something to prove. I mean, I think Coach K won't admit it, but I think he really wants to win this thing. It's been a while since Duke's won an outright ACC regular season title. I mean, 05-06 for a program as awesome as Duke is almost unheard of.
Yep.
Hard to believe.
Yep. It is hard to believe. Here's a little dirt to the details tonight. And this, you know, the number 69, we talked about this in the first hour.
It's a crazy
stat. This shocks you, didn't it?
I saw it. I told you yesterday. When I saw the stat from the smart guys up in Bristol and they sent this down, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It's a great bar bet.
Tate Frazier, Titus and Tate, they do a great job of this. EvanMaya.com chronicles all this. Men's basketball teams that score 69 points first in a game win 93.7% of the time. Okay? Here's a look at the list since 2009. Virginia is number one, 141-1. The only loss is Louisville. Okay? Then you see BC on the list at 79, Wake Forest down there at 81, Pitt is ninth at 97.6 winning percentage. How crazy is that? I mean, just start looking at some of this.
Well, the Virginia number just doesn't, I mean, it's like you got to be kidding me, right?
Yeah.
I know that, hey, I get it, lower scoring team, games are tight,
right.
I get all that stuff, but only one L first to 69?
Yeah. The, the other end of the spectrum on this is Syracuse is one of five teams that has lost more than once this season after winning the race to 69.
Well, everybody's built differently. And you know what Virginia likes to do. But this game, I just feel like this is Virginia's night. If they're going to make a big run, you got to win this one tonight. You got to. And I think same thing with Syracuse. I mean, those are two teams in the 80s in the net. Billis brought it up earlier. I said it in hour one. You start looking at net rankings, not that that's the end all, but it is a starting point. It's a tool that's going to be used. And, man, you can break down quad ones and quad twos and RPIs and KenPom and all you want. But when you're in the 80s in the net, there's moving time. And the best way to move less is win games of note. And Virginia's got one tonight, and so does Syracuse.
Qualify big run for me here. You'd like run it out?
Yeah.
Like Duke, Florida State, Louisville finish 14-6 type thing?
Yeah. Now, listen, back in December, what did I say to you? When we get to the ACC standings, the way the non-conference did not go for the league, you're going to have to dominate within the league and be in that 13-14 mark. And I think that's basically what we've come down to.
Well, and here's the thing. And Jay mentioned this, and it's really important to note. There's six teams. We talked about maybe four for two spots, right, a moment ago in the double bye. But there are six teams right now that have double-figure victories in terms of ACC play. Duke, Notre Dame, Miami, Carolina, Wake Forest, Virginia. Somebody's going to get left out here of the NCAA tournament.
I think so.
Somebody. Now, you could sit there and say, well, it's got to be X. The fact of the matter remains, Duke and Notre Dame are the only two teams right now that I feel confident are going to the NCAA tournament. I think Miami closed in last night at 12-5, but they don't need to throw an El Dosarito up there at the end, right? They need to finish strong too. Wouldn't you agree?
I think Duke's the only one I'm completely confident with.
You're not confident in Notre Dame?
I think you get lost where you see them in the schedule and the standings. But look at the net numbers. They still need to keep winning. What I'm concerned about by answering it that way is if you give me any of those six who end up losing their last three heading into Brooklyn,
sure,
they played themselves right out of the tournament.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm reluctant to say Duke and Notre Dame. Irish need to keep winning games. If they do, they're good to go.
Three of the last four at home, including tonight.
I get that. So go beat Syracuse.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I think Notre Dame's in. Just me. I think the Kentucky win really counts.
No doubt.
I think they've.
So where are they in the net?
The net. Well, it's a blunt instrument. I was told the net's a blunt instrument.
That's what Jay said, but I'm just telling you, it is. You can't just assume, oh, yeah, they're in. They still need to win games.
Before we get out of here, we may update the net for this morning. Okay. We'll see if it's updated.
All right.
But
keep winning. I'd say it all the time. We do this on the radio in football season.
Being guys told they're 58.
Hey, back. What? High 50s, right?
It's not good.
Right? That's a number that you went. You would have thought they'd have been 30s. No.
Correct.
High 50s.
Yeah.
So you can't lose at home to Syracuse
right. If
you're a tournament team.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer in Durham on a Wednesday. Drew Brooks coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. Says he's got some incredible questions for us. We'll be the judge of that.
That's true or false, apparently.
That's it. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program.
Josh Burrell was with us earlier.
Yep.
Listed as Columbia, South Carolina, when he really from Blythewood, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right outside Columbia.
Well, Deja Kelly joins us now. Listed as San Antonio, but she went to Duncanville. So what? Okay, are we Duncanville? Are we San Antonio? Or how are we doing this, Deja?
We are San Antonio. That is where I'm from. I've lived there like all my life. I went to high school in Dallas my last 2 years.
Okay.
Won a state championship there, so
yeah,
that's kind of important. But I claim San Antonio, so we'll say that.
Well, I tell you this. I know one thing you've won. Y'all won a big ball game last week. I mean, that Louisville thing was unbelievable. What in the world was that like at the end?
Oh, my gosh. It was crazy, especially when that ball just hung on the rim for, like, 30 seconds, it felt like. That was wild, but that was a really good game all around. Our student section was amazing, so, like, the crowd was crazy. It was just a really good environment for us, and we pulled out that big win. It was really exciting.
You know what it also tells you? As terrific as Louisville is, and they're great, and NC State's great, the fact that you knocked off Louisville tells me that this conference, which has been about five, six, seven teams deep ranked all season long, this ACC tournament in Greensboro is going to be no joke, right? I mean, this is going to be tough from the very first day.
It is. It is. And I'm really excited. We're still trying to fight for that double bye, which is exciting. But I think we're in a pretty good spot. And like you said, I think it's going to be a pretty tough tournament for anybody.
All right. You were just named the player of the week in the ACC. I got to tell you, though, I mean, I would have thought you'd have had a couple of these before this point in the season. What have you been most pleased with in your sophomore campaign?
I think just, you know, my consistency with, you know, just the way I'm scoring the ball, the way I'm passing the ball as well, just all around my playmaking. I think that's what I'm pretty pleased with, just because I think it's been pretty consistent throughout the season, and that's helped us win games, a lot of games, I would say, big games. But I think that's what I'm most pleased with.
You know, I was just thinking, last week we had on Fiona Crawley.
Yeah.
Who's a women's tennis player at the University of North Carolina, also from San Antonio, Texas.
What's going on there?
Don't know if you know her, but...
I did not know that.
Did you not know that? And again, they just won the national title, indoor tennis.
I did. I saw that. Yeah. I did see that.
All right. So Fiona's from San Antonio, and I told her that one of my good buddies owns a barbecue joint in San Antonio called the Smoke Shack. Chris Conger is his name. And it's great, not good, it's great Texas barbecue, as you well know. So, I'm going to have to add you to the list with Fiona as far as VIPs.
Is that like a comp list?
I'm going to create one. I'm going to have to give him a buzz and say, listen, now, if Fiona or Deja come by, you got to go ahead and take care of them. I don't care about the NCAA rules, of course. Right?
Please do.
Because, I mean, that sounds like, you know, we could probably make something work there. I mean, we're in the world of the name, image, and likeness, right? We can make something happen there, right?
Exactly. Please do. I love me some barbecue, especially Texas barbecue. So please send me their way.
All right.
All right. But Deja, that brings up an interesting question, because in the state of North Carolina, they like barbecue too. Now, I know it's different than Texas barbecue.
It is.
But how do you handle that?
You know, I honestly didn't even know this is what North Carolina was known for barbecue till I got here. So that was really exciting. But there's just one place that I go to for barbecue, and that's Blues on Franklin. I go there so much. That's like some really good barbecue. They got really good ribs. So that's probably the best comparison I can make to Texas.
You know what, though? Let's be honest. And again, I grew up in North Carolina, but I love Texas barbecue. Texas does brisket, man. Nobody does brisket like Texas, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Very, very, very true.
Yeah, 100%.
Nothing can top that.
That's it. All right, nothing can top that. Let's get back to hoops a second. Big picture. Where's North Carolina stand in this fist fight amongst this ACC women's tournament? Because, you know, we talked about it. You've beaten Louisville. NC State's certainly a challenge. Westmore's got a great team. But I don't sense North Carolina backing down from anybody.
You're right. You're exactly right. I think that we have shown that we can compete with anybody in the league, and that we are not, you know, we're not at the bottom. We're at the top. And like I said, we're going to play and act like we're at the top and compete with anybody, you know, treat everybody the same. I think just going in with the same mindset that we want to win, and we're going to compete and do whatever we got to do to win that game. I think we'll do pretty fine in the ACC tournament, and I'm really, really excited.
You guys are at Virginia tomorrow. You won by 9 the first time about a month ago, as it shows on the screen here. If I asked you the most important characteristic going down the stretch for this team, what's it going to be?
I would say our connectedness. I think we play really connected. We have all season, I think that's really helped us and really won us big games. Just especially on the defensive end, I think that's where we really locked in, that's what we take pride in. You know, just getting stops, keeping the other team from doing what they do best, and then that leads to our transition game. So I think just us staying connected, you know, throughout the rest of the season, I think that would help us go pretty far in March.
We have enjoyed having Coach Banghart on here several times. Fantastic. I know she's got like a lot of leadership things, and she reads a lot about leadership and all sorts of what translates to players during the course of the season. She would be somebody that I'd be fascinated to play for just simply from the fact of where she can come from in terms of an inspiration piece or an example or anything like that, Deja, to move your team forward, maybe even after a tough loss or a great win.
Yeah, she definitely sprinkles a lot of knowledge on us every single day, whether it's in practice, whether it's in the middle of a game, or just talking to her on the sideline. Like, I think that she's a phenomenal coach. She has done so much for the women's game, and she just knows so much. So being able to pick her brain day by day, I think, is really it's exciting. You know, as a player, it's really special to be able to have someone lead you like that. So like I said, just being able to get knowledge from her each and every day, I think, is really special.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of digging the North Carolina women's team because the last time we had Courtney on, she was talking about bourbon. And then we get Deja on here. We're talking about Texas barbecue. I'm starting to feel a connection with the North Carolina women's basketball program.
Courtney's going to love, that you told one of her players that you're digging the team because the last time she talked about bourbon.
I'm not saying something that was off the record or off the air.
No, it was definitely on the show.
It was. She was talking about brown water. I'm like, you know, that's... That goes right to the heart, and Deja comes on there talking about Texas barbecue. I'm like, man, well, what am I missing out on? Well,
especially because Pac's hooking her up with the Smoke Shack VIP here.
Chris Condon. Write that name down. By the way, speaking of name, image, and likeness, I do like talking to student-athletes in the league about it. And I know it's a delicate balance, right? I mean, you got school, you got sports, and then all of a sudden there's the opportunities that are out there. Have you been able to take advantage of it at all, or has it just been too busy?
I have. I have been, which is really exciting. I'm signed with WME Agency, which is a pretty big agency, and they've just helped me a lot throughout this whole process. You know, everyone's still learning, but I think that they've been helping me do a pretty good job of helping me build my brand, and that's opened up a lot of doors for me. I just signed with Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if y'all saw that come out. So that was one of my first really big deals. So that's exciting. Yeah, it's all a really exciting process.
All right, so for example, kind of walk us through this, because there's a lot of folks that hear name, image, and likeness, and immediately as a fan, you go, oh, it's the worst thing for college sports. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. So for Dunkin' Donuts, what are you going to do for Dunkin' Donuts?
So it's a lot of, just endorsement things as far as like social media, a couple appearances, things like that. I have my own drink at the Dunkin' on Franklin.
Yeah, I heard that.
If y'all want to go try it, that's exciting. So just things like that, I think, just promoting them.
All right, so you walk into Dunkin' Donuts, what's your go-to? You gotta get the Deja drink, but what goes with the Deja drink?
Exactly.
What are you
so the Deja Kelly drink, it's not all that, but it's to my liking. So it's a cold brew with cold foam and light ice and 5 pumps of French vanilla.
Five. Exactly. And what's the reasoning behind that? Yeah, you had to have some say-so with that, right?
I don't know. I think it's just the taste for me. Like, usually you get 4 in the drink, but I was like, why not add that extra, extra flavor? so like I said, it's to my liking, but I think a lot of other people will like it once they order it.
We going with the Boston cream on the side, or you just stay away from that for now, just go with the drink?
I think I just go with the drink, and I get a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant. That's my go-to.
Nice call. Yep.
That's a good call there, too. Once again, North Carolina women's basketball. We're going Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
We're going sausage, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
We're going Texas brisket.
Yeah.
And a little brown water with coach.
All right. Deja, you are broadcast journalism, so you get over there to Swain Hall and some of those spots on campus. What is it about that intrigues you? Obviously, you want a career in it, or you wouldn't be in the program. So what is it about that side of this that interests you the most?
I think, just growing up, I've watched, people like Holly Rowe, Rebecca Lobo, Kara Lawson when she was doing that, Maria Taylor, who's one of my favorites and someone I watch a lot, just seeing how much they enjoy what they're doing, because you can just tell when someone loves their job and loves what they're doing, and just seeing that through the TV screen, I think was really exciting. And then for me, just being able to, you know, talk sports all day, like as a job, like that's amazing. And I love the camera. I love being in front of the camera. So I was like, you know, what other job to do, to pursue?
Yeah.
So like I said, right now I'm an anchor for a sports extra show here at the Hussman School. So just getting that hands-on practice, I think, is amazing. And I'll do some internships this summer. But just being able to learn, you know, that whole aspect of that side of it is really, really exciting.
Sophomore pack. So we got two more years before it's Packer and Kelly.
I was just going to say, Deja, if you just want to come hang in the summer, come on down. Well, you know.
Packer and Kelly.
If you pass the sniff test Absolutely. With the dogs, you're good to go.
There you go.
It's a piece of cake.
Absolutely. Yep.
You can handle that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Cake. All
Packer
right, here.
And Kelly, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, you can get the merch done, you're in. You get the merch done.
Sorry, Wes, you might as well just stay for South Country Club today.
Yeah, I'll just hang around up in Winston today. Deja's right. Here tomorrow.
Here's our traditional question since you're making your debut. Since you've been at the University of North Carolina, what has been your hardest class?
Man, you know, North Carolina is just a hard academic school all around, but I would say geology, which is a class I'm taking this semester. You know, it's just a lot. It's a lot of information. I don't think I've taken a class like that since like freshman year of high school. So I think that's my hardest class so far.
All right. Excellent work.
Hey, Deja, good luck tomorrow night at Virginia. Hope to see you in Greensboro next week.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You bet. Fantastic visit. Deja Kelly from San Antonio. Another one on Chris Conger's line.
Yep, going to put it on the list.
Yeah, Chris.
Like the North Chris, Carolina VIP no idea. List.
You have no idea the VIPs.
Say when these fine young ladies from the University of North Carolina get back to San Antonio, it's going to be on the house.
We've talked about double bye on the men's card. Here's a quick check of the women's standings. Look at the run for the double bye here now. I mean, Louisville and NC State, you got it. Oh, my. Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Georgia Tech, who's been on a little bumpy road here lately.
Yeah, Jackets have really struggled here down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And Chanel's going to sit there and go, man, golden opportunities missed on that front. But you know what? Notre Dame's in a good spot. Hokies in a good spot. North Carolina's got a little work to do, too. So we're coming down to crunch time this week in the ACC women's side. And then next week, you and I are going to be in the Greensboro on Friday.
Yep. Here is a look at kind of how the head-to-head goes. You see the remaining schedule. Georgia Tech at Florida State and at Wake Forest. Notre Dame with Clemson at home and Louisville again. And then Carolina goes to Virginia and welcomes Duke to Chapel Hill. Virginia Tech, of the teams in contention, that looks like two sturdy opponents right there, doesn't it?
How about Notre Dame, Louisville? They're sitting at the very end. Virginia Tech, NC State at the very end. They'll be underdogs in both of them.
Yep.
Could very well have a 13-5 with the Hokies, a 13-5 with Notre Dame.
Yep.
Georgia Tech's going to have to sweep both games on the road in North Carolina and Duke. Somehow, some way, that game always seems to matter.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Hey, don't forget ACC women's hoops, four of them. On the final day of the regular season, 6:00, number 3 NC State visits number 23 Virginia Tech.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. Hokies and Wolfpack right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, part of our quadruple header on the final day of the regular season.
Seems kind of strange to say that, doesn't it? End of February, end of the regular season.
Yeah, and then we'll be tournament in Greensboro Friday morning. We will be at the Greensboro Coliseum Complex. Don't even start. No. Let's go to Bristol. Let's move on to Bristol.
I don't think that blimp's going to hit the scoreboard.
Let's move on to Bristol, shall we? Andrew Brooks, one half of the world-famous Lumberjacks, handles this program. Let's move on from blimp talk to real talk.
Shoe blimp, man. Not just a blimp. Shoe blimp.
I don't know if this is any realer than that. That was a lot of fun.
You weren't there. True or false?
No, actually.
Oh yeah, you were there.
Was there?
Yeah, you were there for that.
A long time ago.
You missed the following week.
We might need to bring that out of the archives just to remind people. next week.
Maybe for Friday's show, we will show
ahead of time
the archive video.
Because I don't know if the shoe blimp's going to be there this year.
I feel confident it will be.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, you kind of got Greensboro ties. Now that you're going to Forsyth Country Club today.
I was born in Greensboro at Moses Cone Hospital.
That's it.
So there we go. All right, Andrew, go right ahead.
True or false, you break 100 today at Forsyth
Country
Club.
I'm not playing at Forsyth Country Club today.
He will break 100 today, I assure you.
I will tell you the clubs are in the car. They're in the trunk.
Oh, of course they are.
But they're not being brought out today.
They have caddies there now?
I've never played there.
What's membership cost?
Mr. Durham.
I don't know, and I'm just going to... Okay,
what are they charging you for the initiation fee?
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, when you get a hot dog at the turn, Grey Poupon only.
All right, let's play a little true or false.
Please.
True.
For those of you that don't remember, in the first meeting this season between U of A and Duke, U of A made...
U of A?
U of A. UVA, excuse me. You guys got to send me back to Arizona.
Arizona State.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's Mickelson and then Brooks. Mickelson and then Brooks.
The problem is just reading.
One without sponsors. The other one doesn't have any sponsors.
Mickelson, Brooks, Herm Edwards.
Okay.
It's quite a list going on out
Go
there.
Go ahead. UVA, Duke, first meeting.
My
whatever.
Toughest class was reading. In the first meeting this season.
True.
I'll try again. Virginia made 5 free throws and only 2 threes in their win against Duke. So true or false, Virginia will make more 3-pointers than free throws tonight.
Ooh, false.
Duke, by the way, best in the conference at defending the 3.
False. That could have been a 4-point play, by the way.
Well, we found out from Reese he was fouled on the play. The gentleman that got hit making the shot said he was fouled. Of course, there was no whistle on that particular play.
False. More free throws than 3s tonight for Virginia.
I agree with that. I agree with Mr. Durham on the first tee for Forsyth Country Club.
Gosh.
4 left.
Dallas.
All right.
Wesley.
Go ahead. Yeah, thank you.
So we just
full
had,
name always appreciated.
Coach Marissa Young on the show in the 8 o'clock hour. We have 4 ACC softball teams ranked in the top 13.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But true or false, Florida State will lose at least 2 conference series this season. We say that because they've lost a combined 3 ACC series since 2012.
No, false.
Yeah, I'm going to go false there, too. Boy, Lonnie's got a great team again.
And Lonnie, I trust.
Hey, walk off the other night against UCLA?
Sweet. Yeah.
Yep.
No doubt.
I mean, come on now. I know they didn't win the tournament last year, but they're still the standard. How's that?
Yeah, you know, I think somebody may get them in a series. I don't think they'll lose 2.
Right. There you go.
The league's that good. I mean, somebody could get them. But not 2.
Yep.
I'd be surprised.
So they lost 2 in 2019. We'll see what happens this season. Next question. Alondis Williams, Buddy Boeheim, Keve Aluma lead the conference in scoring in conference-only games this season. True or false, neither Alondis Williams, Buddy Boeheim, or Keve Aluma will make the semifinals in the ACC tournament.
Ooh. 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 False. Somebody will.
I think Wake's going to make a run. I think Wake's going to be a real problem in
Wake,
the tournament.
Virginia Tech, Syracuse, somebody is going to disturb the apple cart.
I'm going to go false only because I think Wake is – I like Wake in Brooklyn. Just because of the style of play, the temperament, the whole bit. They turn the ball over a little too much for me sometimes.
Turn the ball over way too much.
But I'm going to go – I'm going to go false. I think Alondis Williams and Wake Forest are a threat in Brooklyn.
I can tell you, Brooklyn's got a chance to be upside down. It does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, false.
All right, we can show you the standings here for this next question. But just trust me when I tell you that Notre Dame is ranked 2nd in the men's standings at the moment and 3rd in the women's. And North Carolina is ranked 4th in the men's standings and 5th in the women's.
Okay.
True or false, both North Carolina and Notre Dame will receive the double bye in both the men's and the women's tournaments.
False. The men, Carolina's men have, they don't have any tiebreakers. Notre Dame, no. Miami, no. Wake, no. They do have a tiebreaker on Virginia. And even if they were to beat Duke, they would lose the tiebreaker if Notre Dame finishes 2nd. So Carolina is playing with a very narrow margin in terms of the double bye on the men's side. And that's not even without knowing how Notre Dame's women set up. So I'm saying no, false.
Notre Dame's women still have Louisville to play, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so I'm going to say tough. I'm going to say false, yeah, just solely because of the thin line Carolina has on the men's side.
Totally agree, yeah. 100%.
All right, mark the tape. Am I allowed to say that? Last question.
No, you're not allowed to say that at all.
Oh, false. Can you rewind? Can we redo the segment again so I can start fresh from U of A, I should say.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you try that one again, Emerson College. Go ahead.
2018 was the last time both number one seeds won the ACC tournament. True or false, both number one seeds will win the ACC tournament this season?
I love that question, and I'm going to say true.
Wow.
I'm going to say true. Are we allowed to change our mind between now and tournament time?
Absolutely not.
Oh, that makes it tougher. I'm still going to say true.
This is where I get to go to the tournament card, isn't it? The top seed has won the title on the men's side 48% of the time, but only 8 times since 2000.
Yeah, but BPI says...
No. This is the Hey Woody history pages now we're
BPI
going through.
Says that sheet's no longer relevant.
Yeah, I got to tell you something.
72%.
BPI. I'm going to say false. False.
All right, mark the tape on that one. There's your mark the tape issue right there.
All right.
I said it. Sorry. Yeah,
I think both ones will win it. Wes disagrees.
How about Feisty Brooks here today?
You know,
starts out, first of all, with Pac-12, true or false.
Right, we don't acknowledge the Pac-12. It's kind of like the college football playoffs.
Conference of Champions.
Yeah. I mean, if this is water polo, we get it, acknowledged. But no. Brooks, no. Don't Arizona State.
Where's
us.
The voice of victory when you need
you
it?
You can't spell Alliance without Pac-12.
Fair point.
Well, that may be the most accurate thing the man said in the entire segment.
They do have their tournaments in Vegas.
It's an advantage.
They do have their tournaments in Vegas and their football championship.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Sorry.
All right.
We're going to Brooklyn.
Wouldn't we? For 24 hours.
In Charlotte.
And Greensboro next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, big announcement next week.
Last time I was in Vegas, I got COVID.
How about big announcement next week?
We've got a big announcement?
Yeah, we got a big announcement next
week. Me and you?
Yeah. And others.
This show?
Kinda. We'll do we gotta come back. More on this
you
program.
You're gonna send me the memo, or is this part of the Forsyth Country Club foursome?
Could be voted on there.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The Blue Devils exploded into the 1991-92 season, playing at a new level and attracting new attention.
I mean, we're coming at everyone. We're punching people in the mouth. We're number one in the conference, in the country all year long. And we win 17 in a row. And it was almost like we ascended. Like, we knew we were really good.
And then they have nowhere to go! Little Jam City, baby!
We were really on a roll at that point, and it was just snowballing to where, you know, like, people have said, or you might have heard, it was like we were the Rolling Stones on the road. Everywhere we went, it was just freaking crazy.
The hardworking team became a team of celebrities, for better and for worse.
Yeah, they were like a boy band coming around. There go the Blue Devils, there's Leitner, there's Hurley, all those guys. There's just a celebrity that they had.
I think we were at like a great time for college basketball. You know, players were staying in college more regularly. You know, we were a brand.
From a media standpoint, they were gold.
You guys ready?
Duke had legions of ardent fans, but with the media covering the team's every move, an army of Duke haters grew as well.
In that 91-92 season, that's when it all changed. That's when Duke became the black hat in college basketball.
Leitner, I mean, he was almost too perfect, and he knew it. He knew he was good. He didn't mind being a villain.
I get tired of seeing myself too, and I So I can imagine if you're a Maryland fan and my face was on there pretty much the whole time, I can understand it. Believe me, I can understand it.
You know, I'll have people stop me. Hey, I hated you at Duke. I'm like, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, or loved you guys. You guys were great. You know, so it's all over the place.
But, I mean, you had to love or at least admire their excellence because they were so good during their run.
On ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, presented by New York Life.
And indeed, they were good.
Oh!
They were a rock show, man. And Leitner said it. We were the Stones. Here they come. Had to see them.
Exactly. We're the Rolling Stones. I mean, unbelievable, right?
Yep.
Back-to-back national champions, 91 and 92. We talked about both kind of earlier this week. We really talked about 91 in Indianapolis because that was almost like a rock show with UNLV and Duke and Carolina and Kansas, and you had all these combinations, and man, unbelievable. So that'll be for you on Monday night. You'll enjoy all that.
I believe that was 30 years ago, Mr. Durham. Let that marinate a second. Seriously, that marinate a second.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
30 years ago.
30 years ago is right. All right, five games tonight. Duke at Virginia, BC, NC State, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Wake Forest at Clemson, Virginia Tech at Georgia Tech. Four of them start at 7 o'clock, one 9 o'clock game, and that's the one on the ACC Network. The doubleheader is Wake Clemson at 7, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech at 9.
Duke, Virginia grabs my attention tonight just because what's at stake for the Hoos? This is such an important game for them. And for Duke, too, in some respects, for a different reason.
Okay.
And the number two game on here for me tonight is Syracuse-Notre Dame. Cuse is rocking.
Wow.
Playing good basketball. Okay. Notre Dame needs to keep pace with the Blue Devils. They get them at their house. So those are the two that jump off the page to me tonight.
Haven't spent much time on the Hokies here the first couple days. Did you see their potential slip away on Saturday? You still think there's a window for an 8-8 team, sir?
8-8 to do what?
They cannot make their way. They've got to get to Saturday, Friday. Where are you with Virginia Tech? Got to win it? Are they a right-side team for you now?
They've been a right-side team for a month.
We haven't discussed them. That's what I was asking.
And so is Syracuse.
Yeah.
Another 9-7, but Syracuse's next three at Notre Dame, mm-hmm. Duke at Carolina. And they finish off, by the way, with Miami.
Yeah.
So their last four are really tough. Now, let Syracuse win them all, Wes, and go 13-7. Total game changer, but those four are tough.
Voice of Victory would be something if that happens now.
Voice of Victory have both pom-poms out Saturday at the Dome.
Yeah, he will. Be sitting next to the bench.
Josh McCary will have a good seat, I assure
you. Josh needs to be at the bench now on Saturday, right there next to Boeheim.
Yeah, but let's not worry about Saturday. Let's worry about tonight. There's two big ones tonight.
Duke, Virginia is 7 o'clock on ESPN tonight. Dan and Jay will be there with Andrea Carter. For the coverage there. Great to have Jay Billis on the show today. Josh Burrell, terrific. Deja Kelly, terrific. Marissa Young. A lot of debuts today there for you, Pac.
Yeah, we had three debuts today, which is nice. But I'm really excited about your trip back to my city, an establishment that I could only dream about what it must be like at Forsyth Country Club, that you'll be rubbing elbows with the rich and famous.
I'm looking forward to being with the folks at Forsyth Country Club on behalf of the National Sports Media Association.
That's fine. Yes, you can give me all that you want, but, man, that's you got to know somebody getting that joint. I'll be at Queens College with a bunch of juniors and seniors talking about their futures
Professor
in the world
Packer,
of marketing.
Entrepreneurial spirit today.
That's what it's all about. It's exactly what
is
we're
talking
about. Is
this where we tell them about the seven figures of the Southern Fried Football Tour and all that?
That's part of it. I've got, I got my shtick when it comes to what I speak about with the college students.
What kind of insight do we provide there?
I tell them, everybody in the room, I'm going to tell you something.
Thornton Mellon.
Now, hear me out. 100% of you are going to fail. 100% of you. Doesn't matter. Now pick yourself up and go. Got to find what you love to do and chase it. The money will follow you. Find what you love to do. It sounds easy, but it's hard to do. Find what you love to do.
And nothing happens until something gets sold.
Nothing happens until something gets sold. That has never changed in our economy, ever. Just look at this show.
Yeah.
All right. We got Funkos free. We got a Woodford Reserve
barrel head. Yeah, no, free. That. Free. Didn't cost a thing.
Nothing gets done until something gets
All right, so let's see what we've accomplished today. Marissa Young, terrific, and gets to play her alma mater.
The goal of every American worker is to be suspended with pay.
Yeah, that's it.
Do you always tell them that, too? I've always said
that. Do you say that? The goal of every American worker is to be suspended with pay?
Yes.
And they let you on a college campus?
And they're bringing me back. What does that tell you?
They're in trouble.
Bringing me back.
That'll be the end of that series.
No, it will not.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.